This show is brought to you by the Genesis Communications Network, a world leader in talk radio since 1998. Visit GCNlive.com today.
America back on track. Bill Martinez live.
Today, let's bring in our expanded panel. Judge Andrew Napolitano, Fox News Senior Judicial Analyst, say that twice. Charles Lane, opinion writer for the Washington Post. Mercedes Schlapp, columnist for the Washington Times, and syndicated columnist Charles Krauthammer. Okay, Judge, first on this, not the politics, but the just the endorsement itself, as this investigation is going on.
It creates a profound legal conundrum for the career prosecutors and FBI agents who have been investigating Mrs. Clinton. There are two teams of investigations. They are separate from each other. They are two elite teams. One concentrates on national security. The other concentrates on public corruption. And quite frankly, the question that our colleague James Rosen put to Josh Earnest goes right to the heart of the matter. What message is the president sending to these teams? So that's problem number one. Problem number two is a technical legal conflict. Can the president and can the attorney general who works for him and can the director of the FBI who works for her possibly be influenced by the president's wish that the subject of their criminal investigations should succeed him? And if they are they still in a position to make determinations, or should an independent thinker with real authority, called a special counsel, be appointed?
Sure. Man, I'll tell you, that's the whole question right there, what Judge Napolitano has been saying. And he said this with regularity, that there's, you know, this really demonstrates the clear need for a special counsel, because this thing's gotten out of hand. I mean, in lieu of a special counsel, you've got President Obama entering the fray, and, you know, on several occasions he has said there's nothing there, and he is most confident nothing will happen. Well, what does that mean? You know, if that's not a message to people, and this is what makes people in the legal field so uncomfortable, and for those that are really not paying attention, it just seems like, okay, well, the president, he's president of the United States. They must be right. He must know something we don't know, because after all, he's got all the inside information, right, Scott? I mean, or otherwise, why would he say that?
I don't see any reason why he would say that if he didn't have inside information.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah,
inside information, or he's confident that he's in control. And I have this sense, I mean, if you watch what happened in the last couple of days, and especially yesterday, after the meeting with Bernie Sanders, and I mean, he seems rather giddy, and he's excited about campaigning and supporting Hillary Clinton. And, like, what else could he do? I mean, Hillary Clinton, an election of Hillary Clinton validates everything that he's done in the last 8 years. And so anybody else says, whoa, we got trouble here. And his, I mean, you talk about his legacy and what's going to be written about him. Wow. I mean, it could change dramatically with that difference, don't you think?
Yeah, I do. I'm very frustrated.
Frustrating. And you know what? You're not a party of one. I want you to know that. There's quite a crowd, you know, behind you, of people who are frustrated. I mean, people I talk to every day, I mean, they are so frustrated over this whole deal. And I'm going, look, don't throw the baby out with the bathwater. Don't give up. You know, stay in the fray. You've got to be engaged, because the problem that we've had in the past is people get worn out on this. I mean, you get like, it's like you're in a bucket of gum, and I understand that. But you gotta fight through this stuff. We've got a couple more months ahead, and we'll get through this stuff if we're going to get this country back on track. Otherwise, hey, it's business as usual, and, you know, we've got 4 more years at least of Barack Obama in the form of a woman now named Hillary Clinton. So,
wow, you paint such a great picture.
I'm sorry. Well, that's the vision. I mean, it's not one that I'm projecting on people. That's not what I want. I don't think that's in the best interest. Ultimately, is for us to continue what has messed things up, though they would want to tell us that, you know, and it's interesting because even Hillary, you know, offers up these ideas like as if she didn't have anything to do with the previous 8 years. Go figure.
Dangerous blood clot device alert. If you or a loved one had an IVC filter placed to prevent blood clots from traveling to your heart or lungs and suffered an injury, you may be entitled to substantial financial compensation. The FDA warns that IVC filters may cause serious complications, such as heart or lung damage, internal bleeding, and even death. These dangerous blood clot devices can break, and the metal fragments can travel to your heart or lungs, causing serious injuries. If you or a loved one suffered organ damage or other injuries from an IVC filter, you may be entitled to substantial financial compensation. Act now. Time is limited to file a claim. For a free consultation and free information, call Injury Help Desk at 800-478-1507. 800-478-1507. 800-478-1507.
This is an advertisement. Paid non-attorney spokesperson. InjuryHelpDesk.com is responsible for this advertisement. Principal Office, Las Vegas.
Are you ready?
Yeah.
Okay, let's do it.
Bill Martinez Live, a program about current events, our culture, our values, our politics, and our future. And now, Bill Martinez.
You better stop. Hey, what's that style? Everybody look what's going on.
Well, hello, America. Bill Martinez here with you. Just about 6 minutes after the top of the hour. It's always great to have you along with us. And right now, we're most fortunate to have Ron Meyer back with us. Red Alert's politics editor. Ron, how are we doing? Can you hear me, Ron? Are we connected here? Okay, we're going to... psych. We just kidding. You know, that's all it is. But, of course, Ron is, as I mentioned, the Red Alert's politics editor. And we'll be reconnected with him in just a moment to talk about, what's going on with the president? Pick up on what Judge Napolitano had to say. Well, Ron, after that big introduction, I mean, I gave you a $5 introduction, and you weren't, and we lost you.
Well, you always give me the best introductions. I don't know what's happening. This is a problem when you do interviews from Washington D.C. You never know what the heck the NSA is doing with our phone line.
Yeah, they're listening in. They go, "Hey, I know you're talking to to Bill Martinez, so we're going to unplug you here just to have fun with you. You know, why not? Hey, a good day, a good couple of days for President Obama. He seems rather giddy after having had the opportunity to talk with one Bernie Sanders and kind of, you know, try to ameliorate and pull these elements together. He endorses Hillary because I figure, well, he's got to do that if he wants to have any say whatsoever in his legacy because an election of Hillary as president of the United States will absolutely validate the last 8 years, won't it?
Well, he thinks that. And I think the other thing is you have to remember, probably a year ago, we were talking about how the Obama endorsement would probably hurt a Democrat candidate because his poll numbers were significantly lower. Because of this presidential election, people have been distracted from his presidency, looking more at the candidates for this election rather than at him. And so his poll numbers have gone up, and now people want his endorsement. So, of course, he's giddy that, you know, he's actually influential because, frankly, if you look at his power over legislation and the power to persuade the American people to support things that he supports, he's been totally ineffectual. He hasn't been able to get any significance in a bipartisan fashion since Republicans in 2010 because he hasn't been able to garner the support of the American people proposed. And
exactly.
Mostly because of his bad favorability rating. So I think he's at the...
Well, Ron... Yeah, and we're having a tough time with this connection. I don't know if we've got you in a bad spot here with your cell phone or the NSA continues to tap in here a little bit. But, you know, let me pick up a little bit on what you're saying about President Obama's ineffectualness. And this is what we have to say about even Hillary. I mean, you look back historically and you say, what did she do as a senator? What did she do as Secretary of State? It all becomes questionable. And even when you ask her own people, I mean, all you hear is crickets. And it seems that the president, particularly in the last year, outside of this, some of these crazy things with immigration and these things that he's acted on unilaterally, Iran, and that it's been quite, you know, quite wacky. And particularly in this last year, I mean, he seems to spend an inordinate amount of time defending his Secretary of State and why she had a personal server.
Well, and doesn't that seem like a conflict of interest that his own administration is investigating her? yet he's out there endorsing her and defending her from these allegations. It does seem pretty odd. And really, it's to kind of, I mean, if you look at it from just a normal American perspective, not conservative or liberal, it's tough to look at this administration and his presidency and look for any particular accomplishments. Certainly right. In the first couple of years, he did Obamacare and stimulus package, some of these other things. That was with a Democrat-controlled House. But if you look at President Clinton, most of his accomplishments came with a bipartisan nature.
Without a doubt.
Obama's really not been able to accomplish anything for the American people. And it's kind of sad and unfortunate for the country that he's been that ineffectual. But that should say something about Hillary Clinton. If he's endorsing her, saying that she's going to be a continuation of me, what does that say about her? She's not going to operate in a bipartisan fashion either. She's not going to be able to accomplish anything with the Republican Congress. And we're going to be stuck in this stalemate, not being able to move the country in a direction that we'd like to see improvements with the economy or a balanced budget or anything like that.
Mm-hmm. Well, it's so self-serving for Hillary to, on one hand, want to look back at her husband's success and laud that success, but forget that, to your point, that it was because of the bipartisanship, Newt Gingrich and company, that really, made his presidency. Without Newt Gingrich and the Congress, the Republican Congress, Bill Clinton, dare I say, would be a mess. And as it is, we're still cleaning up stuff. I mean, they forget that part of what padded the economy was the severe cutback of the military. And then, here it is, we're attacked in 9/11, we have to go to war, and we don't have bullets and we don't have guns because we've cut everything back. And here we are, deja vu, one more time again. Now under, I think, a more severe threat than we had in 2000, look where we are. We're at pre-World War II levels in certain cases. I mean, this is pretty dangerous, Ron.
Well, it's dangerous, and frankly, it's been a lot to blame for the actions of Hillary Clinton. She persuaded President Obama to invade Libya. She persuaded the president to get involved in Egypt. She persuaded him to lead this supposed Arab Spring that turned into an Arab winter and caused a lot of this unrest where ISIS saw a lot of success. We, in a large part, under the advice of Hillary Clinton, and there's President Obama's on the record of having questioned this policy, but ended up being convinced by her and other people around her to go ahead and do these interventions. And is the Middle East more stable because of it? No. Yeah. And now we're in a position where you're right, where President Obama has spent less on our defense, has spent less on making sure we're strong against these threats, yet his Secretary of State and his foreign policy have made us even more vulnerable by destabilizing these countries.
Well, and quite ironic that you had a president who came in, under the premise he was going to get America out of the fray, and here it is. I mean, he gets us deeper in a bucket of gum and created more problems by disrupting all these different regimes.
Yeah, and yet somehow he's proud of his legacy. I don't know what there's much to be proud of, to be honest with you. I mean, I guess it shows, I mean, if anything, the Obama administration has shown the free market economy to be pretty dang resilient. Mm-hmm. And that no matter the regulations that the EPA and Obamacare throw on them, and you can talk to business person after business person, that entrepreneurs find a way. And that's really what's been the testament over this last couple of years, is that the free market has still found a way to have some limited success. Certainly, people are leaving the labor force. It's tougher for young Americans in particular to find jobs. Only half of graduates, by the way, graduated in 2015, have found jobs in the last year. And so there's still some struggles here and there, and I'm not really sure what there is to be proud of, but apparently it's enough to think where his endorsement will matter.
Well, I've often said that we will really get to more of the truth of the Obama administration once he's out. I believe the media still is way too far in the tank, and sooner or later, they're going to realize, and when I say the media, I'm talking the mainstream media that has been carrying his water, they're going to realize that they've been supporting a king with no clothes. And they're going to be called out. I mean, in a sense, they're already being called out for it in the marketplace with lost circulation, lost revenue. But they're bound and determined to hold the course, aren't they?
I guess so. I mean, and the unfortunate thing is, what are the American choices? Do we really have a clear choice for this election? And that's sort of, I think, going to be the question, is can we improve on this administration? Because we have to. We have to for the sake of the American people and for the future of the country.
Well, for sure. We cannot continue, I would say, what we've done in the last 8 years. I mean, that's absolute insanity, as by its own definition, right? But it's up to we the people. You're registered to vote. Make sure you get out and vote, because too many people want to stay home, Ron, and this is a problem.
Well, especially young people. Young people need to vote this election. They need to think about their future. They need to look at these policies, who has the best policies for them, not just vote on based who you hear from Hollywood.
Exactly. Red Alert Politics editor Ron Meyer. I'm Bill Martinez. Thank you, Ron. It's just about 15 minutes after the top of the hour right now, America.
Did you know there's an approved healthcare choice just for Christians that's founded on the timeless principles in God's Word? It's not insurance. It's MediShare. Over 189,000 believers across America who love God and share each other's healthcare bills. It's about half the cost of health insurance, and you never pay for medical practices that go against your Christian beliefs. Best of all, the healthcare law includes a special provision for MediShare members, so you don't have to buy insurance or face penalties. MediShare is affordable healthcare without compromise.
Learn how thousands of Christians can help you save on your health care. For your free information guide, call 855-BIBLE-11. Not available in Montana. MediShare, affordable biblical health care. Call 855-BIBLE-11. That's 855-BIBLE-11.
Are you worried about your mom or dad living alone in their house? Hi, I'm Joan London. Listen, I know how difficult it is to find senior care for someone you love. That's why I recommend a free service called A Place for Mom. They are the nation's largest senior living referral service. Call A Place for Mom today.
To receive free information on senior living communities in your area, call A Place for Mom at 1-800-704-6182.
A Place for Mom offers free one-on-one advice from local advisors and a personalized list of senior living communities you can visit. If you have questions about senior care for your mom or dad, there's a place for answers, A Place for Mom.
Call A Place for Mom in the next 10 minutes to get your free ebook on financing senior care as well as free information on senior living communities in your area. Call 1-800-704-6182. That's 1-800-704-6182.
Are your Google search results killing you? Unflattering content in blogs, news articles, online reviews, social media, or other sources can jeopardize your reputation, your business, and your livelihood. Let Reputation.com help. Our patented technology will make the truth about you more visible while pushing down unwanted negative content. Improve your Google search results. Call Reputation.com at 1-800-831-0771 for a free consultation. That's 800-831-0771.
I'm Nick Soboleski, a SelectQuote agent with a true story that could save you hundreds of dollars a year. A woman named Linda just called. Her husband, Ray, has a $300,000 group life insurance policy, but is changing jobs and can't take it with him. Well, I impartially shot the highly rated term life insurance companies we represent and found Ray, who is 41 and takes medication to control his cholesterol, a 10-year, $500,000 policy for under $26 a month. That's almost twice the coverage for less than half of what he had paid. If SelectQuote hasn't shopped for your life insurance, you're probably paying too much.
For your free quote, call 1-800-403-4885. That's 1-800-403-4885. 1-800-403-4885. Or go to SelectQuote.com. We shop, you save. Get full details on the example policy at SelectQuote.com/commercials. Your price can vary depending on your health, issuing company, and other factors. Not available in all states.
Piedmont attorney spokesperson Adam Pulaski of the Pulaski Law Firm with principal office in Houston, Texas is the attorney responsible for the content of this ad. This ad is not legal advice, and the choice of a lawyer should not be based solely upon advertisement. Services may not be available in all states.
Attention Xarelto users. If you or a loved one took Xarelto and suffered a serious bleeding event, you may be entitled to financial compensation. Xarelto is a popular prescription blood thinner used to prevent blood clots and protect patients from strokes. These serious bleeding events have led to numerous cases of hospitalization and even death. Phone lines are open 24/7. Call 800-261-0937. That's 800-261-0937.
You're listening to Bill Martinez live.
Summertime when the weather is hot, you can stretch right up and touch the sky. When the weather's fine, you got women on your mind. Have a drink, have a drive, go out and see what you can find.
Join us online at BillMartinezLive.com.
Hey, whether it's online or, you know, any one of the 280-plus affiliates or around the world via shortwave, we welcome you to Bill Martinez here live. Good to have you with us. Also, as I mentioned to you, we had a major announcement to give you this week. Red State Talk Radio has picked us up, the dominant force in conservative talk radio, Red State Talk Radio. We're now on live with them every day from 9 to noon Eastern time. So we welcome Red State Talk Radio as our new affiliate here on Bill Martinez Live. With us right now, the one, the only, David Drucker, senior congressional correspondent for the Washington Examiner. David, always good to have you with us. How you doing?
I'm great. Good to be back. Thanks, Bill.
Hey, David, the president has done a pretty good job, I think, all things considered. I mean, he's real giddy about this coming campaign. We've known that he's that's one of his strengths. I mean, he's the campaigner in chief, and he's excited to be supporting Hillary and giving winks to all the other people that are investigating Hillary to say you pretty much better leave our gal alone. Try to make nice with Bernie Sanders, and Bernie's still trying to, you know, swallow what the president was serving up yesterday. And meanwhile, on the other side, as you were writing about with Donald Trump, the challenge remains to get these Republican leaders on board here.
Right. Well, a couple of things there. I mean, you're certainly right. The president loves the campaign. And I actually think you're right in this regard, for sure. He is excited that he has a reason to get back out on the campaign trail. You know, 4 years ago, he famously said over and over, this is my final campaign. But it's not really, in the sense that he's going to do all that he can for Hillary Clinton. She is a flawed candidate who needs his help. You know, in 08, George W. Bush was pretty useless for McCain. And Al Gore didn't really want Bill Clinton around in 2000 at the time because of the afterglow of impeachment and the Monica Lewinsky scandal.
Exactly.
So we haven't seen this in a while, and Clinton's going to get out. Obama's going to get out there. He likes doing this. He's proven to be pretty good at it, and she probably needs to help. You know, and on the Republican side, you're right in that there's still not a lot of unity among the troops, and I think that the guy that has to that's responsible for that, whether it's fair or not, is Trump. In other words, there's only one person who can sort of forge that unity. It's the nominee. I mean, everybody's pretty much given him their endorsement. What he needs to do on his end is not give them a reason to be uncomfortable.
Exactly.
That would include just, you know, avoiding calling out American judges for being Mexican and therefore saying that they can't, you know, rule, you know, impartially. I mean, that's in the controversy the past week. It's one that he brought on himself. In this case, this was not brought up by the media. It was brought up by Trump. Mm-hmm. And if you can just talk about jobs and Hillary Clinton scandal, and, you know, how he wants to make the country great again, that'll at least give Republicans a way to join him, even if they quietly disagree with a lot of his proposals.
Exactly. Well, I mean, it was clear, as you write about the House's representation of foreign policy and how they blatantly ignored Donald Trump's America First ideas.
Right, well, they don't agree with him. I mean, and it's funny. I was talking to senior Republicans that are involved at these levels, some that, you know, helped produce the plan. And, I asked them about the differences, and they said, look, you know, in some ways, what Donald Trump has said on foreign policy makes some sense. You know, the U.S. got a little bit too ahead of its skis with military intervention in certain parts of the world. And it's true that, you know, NATO isn't totally pulling its weight financially. But, you know, on the other hand, the way he goes about talking about these things, they either don't find helpful for the end goal or they don't agree with his ultimate conclusions. In other words, a lot of Republicans, like most people in Washington, think NATO needs to pay more. They don't believe in walking away from NATO if NATO doesn't pay more. And, you know, I was talking to Tom Cole, a Republican from Oklahoma, who just said point blank, I don't think, you know, Trump knows what he's talking about when it comes to the Asia Pacific. It's a lot cheaper for us to station an aircraft carrier group in Japan than California and then have to rush over there to try and deal with China if they think that they can get away with stuff.
Mm-hmm.
And so they think he's learning. But they don't think he's yet very informed enough, at the very least. And then, ultimately, Bill, they just don't agree with where he's coming from on the role for the U.S. and the world. Mm-hmm. I mean, Trump, you know, is looking for where they do agree with him is on immigration and on rebuilding the military. But in terms of sort of tilting inward, having a lighter global footprint in terms of U.S. leadership, they disagree. I mean, there's no way around it, and so they're going to have to find a way to coexist. But it's not, you know, when I write these things, it's not a matter of one person being right or wrong. The voters will decide that.
Yeah.
If you have a lot of Republicans that have been in office for a long time and campaigned on what they believe in, Trump comes along, he is of their party, but he believes different things, and so they're going to have to try and find a way to reach common ground if that's possible.
David, I think they're missing out on an opportunity here. I mean, they got a guy who's out there with a populist message. He's shaking things up. And, you know, part of the problem, what I'm sensing here, they just don't like Donald Trump. You know, there's not a whole lot of chemistry here. And nobody is sitting down and saying, I mean, like a guy like Paul Ryan and going, look it, guys, don't get nervous here. Let him shake things up. The guy's a business guy. What business guys do is they come in and they hit the edges because everything is on the table. Let's negotiate. It's kind of like Ronald Reagan. Ronald Reagan didn't have to make a big deal out of what he did, but I'll tell you, Iran knew with Ronald Reagan coming into office, they needed to do something. They could not sit on our hostages. And what happened? They made a move as he's walking down Pennsylvania Avenue for his inauguration. They made a quick move. We don't want to go deep with this guy because he's an unknown, right?
Well, the problem is they don't really know what he believes, and what he does believe, they don't necessarily agree with. And so I think the difference is Reagan came in with a defined worldview.
Mm-hmm.
And Reagan said, here's what we're going to do. Here's how we're going to do it. He left the details open to negotiation.
Uh-huh.
But he didn't put everything on the table. He made very clear what he wanted and then said, how we get there is a different story.
Mm-hmm.
I think when you're dealing with, you know, politicians of any party, if they have any sort of affiliation to a set of values, which is what the competition in Washington is all about, what they're looking to do is not just shake things up. Shaking things up for its own sake, I mean, you can elect Bernie Sanders to do that.
Right, right.
They're looking to shake things up for a particular reason and move them in a particular direction. And so with Trump, they either don't know what he ultimately would decide to do, or they do know and they don't like it. Now, like I said, there's some areas of overlap.
Mm-hmm.
They know that he wants to rebuild the military and build it up. They agree
right.
with him.
Right.
So they're happy to, you know, negotiate how you get to an agreed upon end goal. Same with border security. You know, they may quibble about his Mexico's going to pay for the wall because they, you know, it's not
right.
realistic. But they like the idea of the wall. So they're happy to quibble about whether Mexico pays for it or we pay for it. Who cares?
Right.
I think with a lot of these other things, like when you talk about pulling out of NATO, withdrawing from the Asia Pacific, and, you know, whether or not you support reforming entitlement programs, I mean, these are things that they just disagree on. And they're not interested in shaking things up if the end goal is a deal with Majority Leader Chuck Schumer, let's say, that doesn't move things in the direction that they want. Now, look, it's the same, right? If you're a Trump supporter, it's the same thing. If you agree with Trump's America First foreign policy, I mean, if Trump comes to you and says, hey, I might go along with, you know, a neoconservative foreign policy, but I'm just going to shake things up in the meantime, they might say, but wait a minute, we like what you said yesterday.
Exactly.
Changing your mind.
Yeah.
So, you know, I think that, you know, this is politics.
Mm.
They're going to try and work together because they have no choice, but it's not comfortable at the moment because there's so much disagreement within their own party. And it makes it harder for them to focus on Clinton, who, you know, from their point of view, is the real evil.
Right, exactly. Well, that's really the big divide right there in the choice. And they are, you know, the Republicans have been asking for a clear, distinct choice, and they've got one now between Hillary Clinton and Donald Trump. And I agree, David, good insight here as to what's going on. And maybe out of all this, Donald Trump comes up with Art of the Deal, a part due, politics style, maybe, huh? What do you think?
I mean, look, it's possible.
There's
some things only the nominee can do, and I think
exactly.
he has it within his power to unify the party.
Get your dad the gift of music at Guitar Center. With a Williams 88-key digital piano for just $169, a Mapex piccolo snare, or a Cordova ukulele, your choice is $49. Get a 12-pack of D'Addario strings for just $30, or get a free $10 promo e-gift card with every $50 Guitar Center e-gift card you buy from now until June 18th. For terms and conditions, go to GuitarCenter.com. This Father's Day, celebrate the musician you call dad at Guitar Center, in-store or online.
Having a place to go after school will make you a better student. Having an outlet to express yourself will make you a better artist. Having something to do together will make you a better family. At The Y, we're helping build better friends, listeners, writers, swimmers, scientists, and musicians, one chance at a time. Give the gift of opportunity. Donate to The Y at ymca.net/give. The Y, for a better us.
If you have sleep apnea and you're tired of dragging around your big, bulky home CPAP device wherever you travel, what I'm about to tell you may sound too good to be true. MiniCPAP.com now offers a portable device that's as small as a soda can and weighs less than a pound. Even better, you can try Transcend absolutely risk-free for a full 10 days. Call us now, 1-800-940-5473. Transcend is the world's first portable mini CPAP device. It gives you the freedom to sleep in total comfort anywhere you are. For even more freedom, you can add a battery that's as tiny as a deck of cards. Transcend is so small and so light you can fit it in your briefcase or purse to use anywhere you go. It's FAA compliant too, so you can even sleep comfortably while flying. It's true. You can enjoy the freedom to sleep comfortably anywhere, anytime you want. Call MiniCPAP.com now for your 10-day in-home trial. 1-800-940-5473. That's 1-800-940-5473.
This is a healthcare alert from the Pain Relief Hotline. If you, a family member, or a loved one suffers from knee, back, shoulder, or ankle pain and have Medicare as your primary insurance, we've got great news. You don't have to suffer any longer. You can immediately qualify for a pain relieving brace at little or no cost to you by calling our 24/7 pain relief hotline at 866-389-0620. Delivery is free and all paperwork is handled for you. If you are on Medicare and have knee, back, shoulder, or ankle pain, don't wait. You can qualify to immediately receive a pain relieving brace at little or no cost by calling our 24/7 pain hotline now at 866-389-0620. Our representatives are standing by 24/7 to take your call and rush you your pain relieving brace at little or no cost to you. Shipping is free and all paperwork is handled for you. Just call 866-389-0620. That's 866-389-0620. Again, 866-389-0620.
You're listening to Bill Martinez live.
Hot town, summer in the city. Back of my neck getting dirty and gritty. Bend down, isn't it a pity? Doesn't seem to be a shadow in the city. All around, people looking half dead. Walking on the sidewalk harder than a match here. But at night, it's a different world. Go out and find a girl. Come on and dance all night. Keep out the heat, it'll be all right. And baby,
join us online at BillMartinezLive.com.
Hey, it's summertime here in the East Coast. Let me tell you, you know, for this born and raised California boy, being here on the East with the humidity and bugs and no-see-ums, I've got to, you know, I'm trying to make no-see-ums into pets here, Amy. I don't even know if that's possible, but I'm getting tired of them biting me all the time. You can't see them. It's one thing to get bit, but when you can't see what's biting you, that's even more annoying, you know?
It certainly is.
Yeah, I got to tell you. Amy Reitenauer is with us. She is the Washington-based founder and CEO of the National Center of Public Policy Research, and always good to have Amy with us. And we want to talk about what is going on with Target. I mean, the insistence and their entrance in a foray that people would say, you know, what are you doing this? I mean, if I was a stockholder of Target, And the billions of dollars that are flying out the door for something that just seems so minor, I don't understand. It's like what are they holding on to?
It's very difficult to tell. And as you know, we went to the shareholder meeting 2 days ago,
mm-hmm.
and we asked, and we got a very pap answer. Basically, the CEO just keeps repeating that he's for diversity and inclusion and for welcoming people. But as you know, what he has done is say that the restrooms and the fitting rooms at the Target stores are open to people based on the gender that they claim at any particular moment. And before anybody gets upset at that description, I mean, these days, and this has changed like in the last 60 days, gender is said to be something fluid.
Yes.
That there will be people out there who say that they're a male on a Monday and say that they're a female on a Wednesday. And so we're all supposed to just go share the facilities with folks based on that sort of thing. And, you know, this is not what people were raised to do, and people aren't comfortable with this. but Target wants to push it down people's throats.
And that's the thing that's so difficult. I mean, and Justin Danhof, who you had there as your general counsel and director of the Free Enterprise Project, and he attended the meeting, and you know, was very direct with you know, the CEO of Target and asking him these questions. You know, did it matter? Was he concerned about the loss of income? And you know, the CEO Brian Cornell, you know, held his ground. I mean, it kind of reminded me a bit of the president of the Sierra Club when he was, you know, hit with some direct facts, and all he could hold to was 95% of the scientists all agree, or 97% of the scientists all agree that global warming is a reality, and it just became quite hollow. You know, here it is, it's deja vu all over again to hear what Brian Cornell had to say. And I'm thinking, wow, he's really putting his job on the line here, because the stockholders, you know, they're looking at dividends. And when you got billions of dollars going out the door, that's not making you a happy camper.
Well, absolutely not. And as you know, the American Family Association put together a petition after Target made this announcement, which was on August 19th, asking people to boycott Target. And over 1.3 million people have so far. And that's just the ones that signed their petition. I mean, you can imagine that probably only a small percentage of the people that are upset went to a specific website and signed a petition.
Mm-hmm.
But as you know, Mr. Cornell didn't give an answer. And that's critical. You know, if he had an answer, then, you know, we could have something, number one, to evaluate.
Right.
The fact that he doesn't have an answer. And as one financial analyst, and probably more, put it, Target didn't need this battle. Target has what they call family restrooms in most stores and had already decided to switch over to that style, meaning, you know, single-use restrooms.
Exactly.
A man could use a woman, or you can go in with your child. And they already committed before all of this that they were going to convert completely to it.
Mm-hmm.
So when this issue came up, all Target had to say was, we're going for family restrooms, so it really doesn't apply to us. But instead, they went out as if they were a trans activist organization, and they're not one. I mean, if you want to form a group like that, go right ahead, but they went into retail.
Right, exactly. Yeah, why would you give up 98% of the marketplace for less than 2% of the marketplace, which, you know, the big question is, like my mother said, what were they doing last month? You know, were they not going to the bathroom? What was happening? I said, exactly. You know, they brought up a itch that didn't need to be scratched.
Well, exactly. I mean, the individuals who have transitioned, whether they have done so biologically or not, and who appear to be a different gender or sex than the one they were born with, nobody notices.
Mm-hmm.
You go into the restroom and you look, if it's a woman's room and you look like a woman, nobody blinks an eye.
Exactly.
The other theory is that, you know, there was a case about 3 or 4 days ago where a lady got beaten up in a restroom. And I say a lady, I mean a biological female who has been a biological female her entire life and plans to stay one. But she looks rather masculine, so people assume she wasn't. Now, this is not to their credit. You don't beat people up over this.
Right.
But they beat her up because they thought she was a man.
So
it's actually got more people being intolerant now than we did before.
Well, and this is what these things do, Amy, each time. And some of these people in all their wisdom say, well, that's just part of the learning curve and the process we have to go through, you know, those unintended consequences that we have to deal with. But look at, you know, we want to be compassionate, and for the most part, we are. Although some people who are dealing with this issue, and this is a thorn that sticks in their side, they're more focused on that thorn than they are, you know, what happens the majority of the time. And I'd say most more than the majority of the time, like you say, you know, people are very tolerant, and you just go and, hey, if you look like a woman or whatever, or you've been this way, I mean, nobody's checking this stuff out. But now all of a sudden you've made it combative, and just what you want to do, hey, I just want to go to the bathroom. I don't want to go in there for a fight. This is back in high school again.
Well, exactly. And one of the other things that the activists who are for this don't take into account, or they do, they ignore, is that in the old days, like, you know, 6 months ago, if you went into the ladies' room and you were a man and you assaulted someone, when it went to trial, the very fact that you were in the room was evidence of ill intent. And that was a significant thing for prosecutors to have in their toolkit.
Mm-hmm.
Now, if you go into a restroom, and people say, well, there's not a lot of assaults in restroom. Well, in fact, in places like this, if you wish to assault someone, you go to a private room. It might be a restroom. It might be a little corner of the store where, you know, they're selling bathing suits or something. But you get out of people's direct vision before you, you know, grab a woman in a private area or something of that nature, because that's how you get your jolly.
Right.
But now, you're in the ladies' room and you're a male and the prosecutor goes to court, he's not going to be able to fully say to the jury, what was he doing there in the first place?
Exactly.
He's not going to say, even if it's false, I'm in there because, you know, I feel that I'm a woman. And, you know, it'll seem reasonable.
It will seem reasonable. That's those are the operative, you know, words there. In a May appearance on CNBC, Amy, as you recall, CEO Brian Cornell compared the company's decision to mix the biological sexes in states of undress to the company's decision in the 60s to use African-American models, saying the decision to use black models wasn't well received. The implication appears to be that people who believe sex is determined physically or who simply don't want to be undressed near people who have a different physiology are bigots and morally equivalent to racists. I mean, this is what this is all this race baiting. And, you know, I'm going to force you to see things the way I see them, whether you like it or not. And I'm going to use the law to force my will and perspective on yours.
That's exactly what it is. And he is lording it over people saying, I'm morally superior. And he's not morally superior from a person who's just trying to protect their children.
Exactly. And that's what this all comes down to. Amy Ridenour, NCPPR chairwoman and CEO of the National Center for Public Policy Research. Amy, always good to have you with us. This is Bill Martinez. We're live at just about 18 minutes before the top of the hour. Stay with us. We've got more coming up right after this.
This is Dan Pilla. Do you owe the IRS money you can't pay? Are tax debts crippling you? I've defended people from the IRS for over 30 years. I've helped thousands, and I can help you too. I wrote the book on IRS settlement, and I'm telling you, there's no such thing as a hopeless case. Call 800-34-NO-TAX to finally get free of IRS debt. With the IRS's new programs, there's never been a better time to solve your problem. Call 800-34-NO-TAX. That's 800-34-NO-TAX or my website, danpilla.com.
This report is brought to you by Bristol-Myers Squibb. Do you know someone whose life has been touched by cancer? With over 32 million patients worldwide, the impact of cancer can be felt in nearly every family. For the second year, actor Eric Stone Street is partnering with Bristol-Myers Squibb on Ready, Raise, Rise to educate Americans about immuno-oncology, a rapidly evolving area of research that seeks to harness the body's own immune system to help fight cancer. Eric Stone Street, actor and cancer research activist.
Too many families like mine have been touched by cancer. That's why it's important for everyone to be informed about advancements in cancer research like immuno-oncology. Join me, raise, and share a flag at ReadyRaiseRise.com today. It takes just 30 seconds, and you can honor a loved one touched by cancer and help raise awareness for cancer research. For each flag raised and shared, a donation from Bristol-Myers Squibb will be made to an advocacy group that you select.
Go to ReadyRaiseRise.com to raise and share your flag today. For more, visit ReadyRaiseRise.com.
This is an alert. If your business or church is building this year, you're about to pay more than you should. This could mean thousands of dollars more for your office, retail space, church, or warehouse. A General Steel building can save you as much as half the cost and time of similar conventional construction. And we're offering rebates of up to $20,000 to help you build today. Call General Steel for free information that could save you thousands. Call 866-91-STEEL.
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 You know, we've all heard about the health benefits of fish oils, but what about the presence of heavy metals, PCBs, dioxins, furans, and other contaminants found in the fatty tissues of fish? Bill Martinez Live recognizes this risk and offers IFOS-certified tested omega-3 fatty acids, EPA and DHA, insist on IFOS Omega-3 Fatty Acid Certification. Get the best at BillMartinezLive.com, Youngevity, or call 855-305-8326.
Hi, this is Ron Paul. I'm a former 22-year congressman and Republican presidential candidate. I'm here to tell you about something that just might save your lives. You never know when there will be another Katrina, an economic collapse, or a serious drought. We should all have a little food storage that will carry us through tough times. I'm going to tell you about a great way to do that. A U.S. company named Harvest Right has a kitchen appliance that can help you be prepared. It's a home freeze dryer. With the product, you can preserve the food your family loves. And the best part is the food will last 25 years and still taste great. I've tried it, and it's amazing. With a home freeze dryer from Harvest Right, you can literally freeze dry anything you eat. Even things like ice cream. To learn more, call Harvest Right today at 800-594-4635 or go to harvestright.com. That's 800-594-4635 or harvestright.com.
Vaping enthusiasts, head to VaporPalace.com. Choose from over 150 flavors and a selection of exclusive private stock vapor liquid you won't find anywhere else. New flavors are added every month, and our customer service is unbeatable. VaporPalace.com offers 15% off all vapor liquid on Fridays and get 10% off every order with coupon code VAPOR10 at checkout. Combine the codes on Fridays for 25% off. The ultimate destination for the vaping enthusiast, VaporPalace.com.
Your program, your calls, your opinions. Bill Martinez, live.
Well, it certainly is nice to meet some of Ricky's friends after all these years.
Lucy quiere que le diga que está muy contenta de conocer a los amigos míos de Cuba después de tantos años de casado.
Ah, muchas gracias.
Did you have a nice boat trip up here?
Mommy, they're not hard of hearing, you know.
Bill Martinez.
That's what I'm saying. We're just not hard of hearing. We can't understand, you know. That's the beauty of all this. Hey, we got the Lucy girl with us. Lauren Kitchens Stewart, the one, the only. Lauren, of course, a national spokesperson, talent in every right of the experience. She's also a professor. And, Lauren, I'm glad that you're on because I want to talk about something particularly that has just gone absolutely viral ever since the announcement of Judge Persky over this Turner rape case, Brock Turner rape case, the sentence. This is just unbelievable. I mean, we've got activists out of San Francisco today. They're going to be delivering a million signatures mm-hmm. to the California Commission on mm-hmm. Judicial Performance calling for the removal of Judge Aaron Persky from the bench because of this very soft and light sentence that he gave Brock Turner. But, you know, you're a professor. I mean, you're on the college campuses. You're dealing with this. And, you know, Brock Turner says, hey, look, at you can't blame me. It's the, you know, it's the culture of what's happening on the campuses today.
Yeah, I'm kind of glad that people are standing up because this is going to set a precedent. And then, you know, what's going to happen from here on out? You know, there's no law to follow. Typically, for this type of crime, it's a 2-year sentence.
Mm-hmm.
And he reduced it to 6 months. He's probably going to serve 3 months. And I think the judge, what he was saying, well, but he's going to be on the sex offenders list, and he is going to have to do jail time. He's going to be a convicted felon. Isn't that enough for a kid that went to Stanford that was upstanding? But he wasn't.
Mm-hmm.
And I think people are conflicted, too, because he wasn't honest with the judge, that he
right.
had, you know, partook of drugs, alcohol, and they're saying the judge even knew that beforehand. And I think folks are just really saying, you know what, this isn't okay. This isn't lawful. It's not right. And juror members are saying, I don't want to sit under his bench. I don't want to be involved in his courtroom because I don't trust him or what he'll do. And one of the 20 that was thrown out was being interviewed, and they said, you know, I can't be involved in anything that has to do with this judge because it's going to affect, you know, my judgment with this case because
yes.
I don't like him. I don't believe in him. I don't support him or what he stood for. I don't think it's right. So, I mean, what do you, I'm a professor. I'm a woman. And I'm thinking, how would I feel if someone did that to me? Now, I went to
University of Mississippi, and that was kind of a party school. And I remember what it was like when young boys drank a lot, partied a lot, you know, and girls did too. Mm-hmm. But how it was, you know, it was almost like there wasn't regard for a woman's no meaning no.
Mm-hmm.
And that is very, that's something we have to look at. And it bothers me as a woman to go, that's all he got. If that was me, how would I feel if that man raped me and only had to go to jail for 3 months?
Yeah.
And being smug about it.
Right, exactly. Well, you know, my first reaction, not only to him and to the father, is that they both need therapy. You know, they need to get a grip of their moral compass. They've lost them. I mean, his dad, you know, to defend his son, saying, you know, this is pretty severe for 20 minutes of action. Are you kidding me? You're going to put it in that context? I mean, we're going to set you aside. We're putting you on timeout because we don't need that kind of thought to reproduce itself. And we need to draw this in. I mean, we need to. And the thing is, it opens the conversation on all levels. I mean, for this young girl herself, I mean, gosh, you know what the campuses are like. I mean, you know, rape case. I mean, the numbers are astronomical here. The
and
kind of things that go on.
Since I was in school.
It yeah.
It's probably gotten worse.
And why would women put themselves in that position? Of course, the whole culture. I mean, you know, we're here on the East Coast and we've experienced, you know, the spring breaks and all this kind of stuff. And you see it and you go, whoa, this is nuts. I mean, you had rapes on the beach that were taking place right in front of people and they could care less. And,
well,
and you go,
people are videoing it and laughing about it and putting the video up on what, Facebook or, you know, on their Twitter. I mean, I don't know. I only do Facebook. But I saw that one video that you're talking about and I was like, this is just sick. It really is sick. And see, this just plays into all that. And think of all the women who would want to come forward and how hard it would be and embarrassing it would be. And how many women go through being raped and never say a word about it.
Exactly.
And now they're going to say, well, why should I?
Yeah.
You know, because this is going to, the guy's going to get off, you know, 3 months. And somebody was saying something about the sex offender list. He'd be on the sex offender list for life. Now, my understanding was, the sex offender list, they fall off of it like after 10 years or so. But maybe that's changed. I don't know. I mean, have you heard that it's for life?
No, I have. My understanding, it's for life that they're on it. But I don't know, you know, the way our country's been going, Lauren, you know, we want to be soft on so many things. We want to be so considerate on so many things. But I think this.
Don't offend anybody.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, give them a trophy or something, you know, whatever. You know, after it's all said and done. I mean, it's so ridiculous. But we need to kind of get everybody together. You know, on the female side, you know, say, look at gals. You know, you got to understand. You got boys here. You know, dealing with their own hormones and all this stuff. And you got to. I mean, these plunging necklines, these revealing bikinis, and all this other stuff. I mean, you're a red cape in a room full of bulls. And you're
well, exactly, yeah,
you know,
here,
you know, and I'm just saying, hey, not that anybody deserves, I'm not saying this, but we have to be responsible on both sides. And on the other side, like I said, the father and the son both need to be put on timeout, and any other father and son who thinks that 20 minutes of action somehow mitigates you know, a sentence and that sort of thing or reduces it somehow is like, look, at we need to connect you with some moral compass here. This is totally unacceptable because, you know what, Mr. Turner, if Brock was the girl, what would your, you know, 20 minutes of action, you know, how would that alter your 20 minutes of action perception if it was, if he'd have been your daughter and not the other way around?
Exactly. And I'm glad you're bringing up this point because I did want to address women in all this and our responsibility in dealing with how we dress, how we carry ourselves. And the other night I walked in and my six-year-old, and, you know, we're pretty strict about things, I think, for the most part. And she was watching a kid-friendly show. And
so you thought.
So I thought it was a music video of a young girl, and she had on, you all, a corset, nothing more, a corset, and singing her song. My six-year-old, I'm like, what are you watching? This was, once again, a family-friendly, this was a channel for children, a channel for children, not one that's even just family-friendly. And this young girl in this video, so here my six-year-old is watching this. I'm like, Channing, no, honey, this is not okay. I said, she is wearing something that is inappropriate. And we had a talk about it,
But I'm saying this is what they're seeing, and I'm watching this, and it was very seductive.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, over-the-top seductive. I was so surprised because this singer used to be on Disney.
Yeah.
And she's doing all this, you know, kind of like what we went through with Hannah Montana years ago,
mm-hmm.
and her doing the wrecking ball, and we're watching this going, what? And
yeah.
then you wonder why little boys are this ignited, or young college boys are this ignited, and that's a really important point that you're making, that, you know, you're like Dylan Smith, has a lot going on emotionally. It's like a Red Bull, that perfect analogy.
Mm-hmm.
And we as women have to be responsible for that. And like I said, no one deserves that to be raped. Heavens no. But we
right.
need to make sure that we're not putting ourselves in harm's way by being enticing. And we even have to be careful of that, Bill, as older women, as middle-aged
mm-hmm.
women, being
right.
careful the positions we put ourselves in, what we're wearing. And I've had to really look at that. Not that I lean that way, but I kind of like to be, you know, trendy, funky, hip, and go, well, is this okay? And what the kids wear today, the girls,
mm-hmm.
my mother would never have let me walk out the door. She'd have gone, okay, back upstairs.
Exactly, right. Well, and I got to tell you this, you know, for women, and some may say, oh, Bill, you're just still old school or whatever, but, you know, it is so, you know, we've taken seductiveness, you know, to the edges to such a degree that it's no longer seductive. You removed the imagination. I mean, true seduction comes in the imagination, but if you're sitting there, you know, showing everything, I mean, you know, these red carpet jaunts of women with body parts exposed
mm-hmm.
to such a degree, like you say, it all sets a tone, it sets a standard within our nation, and if we're really concerned about this, this whole situation that happened in Stanford is an indictment on all our society, and this is a learning opportunity for all of us to, you know, consider and meditate on this situation for a moment and say, okay, what am I doing? Am I adding or taking away from this, you know, this cultural movement that says 20 minutes of action is somehow acceptable?
Mm-hmm. Well, I agree. Hear, hear. And we need to be having conversations with our little girls and little boys about respecting each other at the six-year-old level.
So exactly.
They're not being indoctrinated in elementary school that this is okay, because then they get to college and they're like, well, this is the norm. This is what everybody else does. Why shouldn't I do it too? Not realizing the downfalls of it.
Well, I wanted to spend some time with Judge Curiel as well with the Trump controversy that's going on. We only got about a minute left, Lauren. You know, sum up something as best you can real quick.
I tend to agree with Donald Trump. I would feel like he would be impartial towards me or partial against the other side. So I tend to be more supportive of him, understanding that he feels that way. Because
mm-hmm.
his law firm, I mean, they support Hillary, he was appointed by Obama. Wouldn't you feel that way?
I am. Yeah, when you consider all the money that that law firm has, and nothing, very little, negligible amounts of money to Republicans. So it seems like it is an operative situation. There's no doubt about it. It definitely smells, but, you know, Donald Trump, I think, would be wiser to let somebody else bring and deal with that. Lauren Kinchin Seward on Bill Martinez Live. Thank you, Lauren. You know, you've been hearing about Dr. Wallach talking about 90 essential nutrients keeping the body healthy. Bill Martinez Live now has Beyond Tangy Tangerine Tablets, 60 plant-derived minerals, 16 vitamins, 12 amino acids packed in a powerful tablet. But that's not it. 160,000 ORAC points, a knockout punch to free radicals. Call 855-305-8326 or BillMartinezLive.com. Youngevity, that's 855-305-8326.
The final phase of extermination is set to commence now, and as population die-off becomes evident, you know it is the time of punishment in all that is written. The cover for mass die-off is evolution and global warming frauds, also used as false proof of their Christ. They are from the lines that were disinherited 2,000 years ago. Now they claim to be his Christ based upon blood type, DNA, and long lifespan. Go to unveilingthem.com. That's UNVEILINGthem.com.